and welcome to episode 5 of Teacher People, the podcast that helps you know your teachers as people. I'm thrilled to start off 2020 with really a Chelsea High School institution that has been around for a long time, a well-known figure in our community, our advanced fitness teacher, our varsity baseball coach, and kind of fitness guru extraordinaire, Mr. Adam Taylor. Mr. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I know the kids were excited when I told them that I was going to be talking to you. And I think one of the reasons everybody knows you around this building. I mean, you say AT, everybody instantly knows who you are. I think people in our community see you all over the place at sporting events and in and outside of the building. So everybody kind of knows the Chelsea High School version of AT.
Sure.
So what is Mr. Taylor like outside of school? So when 3:30 hits, 4 o'clock hits, you're done with your conditioning or you're done with practice and you go home. What's that like?
I usually leave a little later than that, to be honest with you. But no, I try to get home and not do much of anything. For sure going to clean the floors.
Okay.
A lot of people, I'm kind of OCD about stuff like that. So,
like mopping and sweeping? And...
Yeah, the Swiffer. You a Swiffer guy?
Yeah, well, it's a little too pricey and expensive for me. You got to keep buying those refill packs.
That's right. Touché. Yeah. But no, I mean, I just try and hang out with my kids and being recently married, that's been great. So, yeah.
What about long-term, maybe not a night-to-night deal, but do you have any big hobbies you like to invest a lot of time in?
I'm a big yard guy.
Yeah.
I'm a big yard guy. I think, the yard has to look good, right? I mean, yeah. Take care of your lawn. It's got to be green. Try to top everybody in the neighborhood.
So what's the newest like addition or feature? You got like the garden gnome? Are you
lawn art? No. Okay. I don't really have an addition. Just keep it tight. Got to keep it edged, right?
Okay.
Edged is the key. The sidewalk is edged, and I just think I'm pretty lucky. We just moved into a new house a couple years ago, so it was kind of turn the key and live and don't screw it up.
Okay. Are you a riding mower guy or a push mower?
Well, my yard's about the size of a postage stamp, so no, I'm a push mower guy. Steep hill.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a yard that I joke like I could cut with a pair of scissors, I think, sometimes. And,
exactly.
My lawnmower is actually electric, so I
really?
Plug it in by extension cord,
eco-friendly.
Which makes me look pretty tough, I think, around the neighborhood.
I like that.
Walking around with my electric lawnmower. But anyway. Again, we know you all as the teacher here forever. It's hard to imagine Chelsea High School not running with you at the helm of these things. But I know that that wasn't your only time at Chelsea High School. You were a student here at CHS back in the day, and you were a graduate of what class then?
92. Not a very good student, but 92.
Okay, well, you're kind of, anticipating my question of, for students that didn't know you then, what were you like when you were a high schooler at Chelsea?
Kind of kept to myself, but was immature. Academically, I would say, not really driven so much. Became very motivated when I got to college, though, I would say.
Okay.
So it was good. Everybody figures it out at different points, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask, was there something that helped you flip the switch or a light bulb went off, or was it just
having a child to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, or a child on the way, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you tend to do pretty well on your stuff when you need a job and you need to finish school, so yeah.
Okay. All right. I always like to do a thought experiment about whether or not I would have liked to have taught myself when I think of what I was like in high school. Now, from the teacher perspective, do you think you would have wanted to teach yourself as a high schooler?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't immature in the classroom, like disruptive at all. I just, if there was work and I didn't feel like doing it, I didn't do it. And GPA reflected that. And test scores reflected that.
Okay. All right.
But not a disruption by any means.
Yeah. Do you think the school like has changed in your time since as a student? Do you see any big changes either in the athletics or in the classroom offerings or the environment of the school?
I'm not knocking the faculty when I was here, but I feel like the faculty now is so invested in kids. I think that's something that not a lot of people really talk about. I mean, it's really, really important to people, part of the faculty, the student part, and getting to know the background of some of those kids. And I think by doing that, you can push kids a little bit more and make it really difficult on them and get more out of them at the end. So I would definitely say it's a lot harder now. I mean, at Chelsea, for sure.
Going back to think about those teachers, does anyone stand out as someone who did do that for you when you were a high school student, who really pushed you, or did you have a favorite teacher in your time at Chelsea High School?
I would say that Mr. Terpstra, this is a great one. So Mr. Terpstra, I failed his class as a freshman. So I believe Lord of the Flies, and we were going to take the book Lord of the Flies, mm-hmm. and we were going to take a quiz every day. I didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. Didn't do very well. But looking back on it, and it didn't take very long after high school, look back, he was a great, great teacher. Mm-hmm. Great teacher. And a lot of people say this or that, but he was a great, great teacher.
So why was that? I mean, you said a lot of students would say, I failed the class, I automatically don't like the teacher, I assume mm-hmm. they've got it out for me. What did you take from this teacher that you earned a failing grade from that was ultimately valuable or positive?
I just thought that it was consistency. It was every day. Like, he was going to stick to it every day. He was going to hold you accountable. He wasn't going to budge on any of that stuff. I just thought he had good values as a teacher. I mean, And another thing was, he's a really good coach. When I was here at Chelsea, you know, when I left, I'm not really sure how he did during that time, but I just always respected the fact, looking back, after I was able to reflect, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that probably not many students now know the name of Mr. Terpsch, but yeah. I know he's one for me that's special and that I student taught with him.
I was going to ask you, didn't you? Yeah,
I took his position when he retired in the mid-year, after I had finished student teaching.
What'd you think?
I loved working with Mr. Terpstra. I think it was a blessing, knowing that coming into teaching, I felt good about my content knowledge and I felt good about my ability to interact with kids and connect with kids, but I didn't feel good about running a classroom, just knowing how to manage things. And he was really an expert at that. And he understood, like you said, being consistent, being fair, making expectations clear, and not being afraid to make the hard decision. You know, it might be easier to let someone turn something in late, but they're going to learn the lesson a lot more if, you know, there's not necessarily an easy way out. And he was very consistent about things like that. So, yeah, I think there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't take a lesson from Mr. Terpstra and apply it to my classes. But what about you? Did you have any teachers that are still in the district today?
Mr. Mitchell. What else? There's some other people. Steve Hens. I don't know if Mr. Brinklow retired.
I think he's still teaching.
I had him for, I think, 7th grade math.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you remember about those? What was Mr. Mitchell like in 1992 or Mr. Hens?
He's been on your podcast, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't listen to that one. He was a beauty. Mm-hmm. I mean, a real gem. Mm-hmm. He got here and he went on the spring trip with us to Florida, the baseball mm-hmm. trip.
Okay.
And I can't remember if it was Coach Walton or somebody said, Hey, Lonnie, you better, Coach Mitchell or whatever they said, you better put some sunscreen on. And he's from Texas, as we all know, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't burn. I'm from Texas or something. And he said, they call me the bronze god. Uh-huh. He dropped that one on and everybody was like, oh boy, here we go. The next day, he was like a rock lobster. I mean, he was smoked. And for the rest of the trip, people would not let it go. Bronze god, yeah. Uh-huh. So he was another, that's so funny. Because guys would not let him up. But he, another guy that's an awesome teacher. I mean, both my kids have had him. I mean, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that, like, I asked him the other day, I said, hey, how long are you going to go? And he's like, I don't know. I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. I mm-hmm. love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I just think that's pretty refreshing.
Yeah.
The times we live in. So
definitely. I thought you were gonna say they needed him to pitch some batting practice or something
Oh, no, hell no, no.
Okay. Well, as part of the podcast here, as we move into our regular segments, we structure the podcast around 5 daily warm-ups that I do in my classes. And basically, for the podcast, I invite my guest to present from his perspective our warm-ups. So those include a Monday music, a song that you're interested in, a Tuesday trailer, which is a trailer for a TV show or movie, something that's caught your eye. Wednesday World is our current event topic that interests the guests. Throwback Thursday is just a story from the past that we might like to hear. And the Friday question of the day is some deeper kind of question that just gives us a chance to think philosophically about something. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to AT, and he's going to tell you a little bit about his Monday music.
My Monday music would be definitely Korn. I think the genre they call it is nu metal. So I'm a big Korn fan, and we've gone to alumni is a big deal to me too. So some of us go to different shows and hang out. So that's it's kind of Monday music. Kind of gets your mind right.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be metal because I know I've heard that that's maybe an interest of yours or a passion of yours. You like to play it in the weight room while people are lifting and working out.
Yeah, but I like the other stuff too. But for Monday music for your theme, it's got to be something like that.
And you said it's new metal, but Korn's been around for a while.
Right, that's just what they call it. Right, every kind of genre has got to have some kind of tag to it.
So
right?
Where did you come across Korn for the first time?
Well, it's funny you say that. So, well, I think I was 90, 92, the fall of 92, I was at Ferris State and we were driving to Florida on a bus, going there for a week to play in a tournament. And then, and the Walkman, right? The foam ear things with the Walkman, it was a cassette. And that was one of the cassettes that I had. And I hadn't really listened to it much and it just... It was the only cassette I took, so it kind of grew on me.
Okay. And did we catch what song we're going to hear by Korn? Is there one in particular that you like?
Could be any. I'm kind of blind, maybe. There's a lot of good ones, right? They've been around for 20 years now, so 20-plus years. There's a lot of good ones. Falling Away From Me. I mean, they're all pretty good.
Before we play this on the podcast, I just want to check this is going to be okay for our PG-13.
I do think, audience. I don't think it's explicit, so I think it's pretty good, but all blind, right. Yeah.
Well, for the first time in the history of Teacher People, we're going to make a trip into the genre of nu metal, and I can assure you this is not the song that Mr. Mitchell picked when he came to the podcast. So this is a song from Korn.
I can see I'm going blind.
All right, that was Blind by Korn. And while we were watching that video, first of all, I feel like our listeners really missed out because we got a chance to see the visuals there. I feel like that's a key part of the Korn experience.
Sure.
But you mentioned while we were watching that you went to see them, you said like 5 times you've been to some of their concerts
before. Yeah, recently. Yeah, within the past couple of years, yes.
What's a Korn concert like?
I would say that it's a little bit surreal just because you look around and can't believe what's happening just because it's controlled chaos. Uh-huh. That would probably be the best way to say it.
Uh-huh. Have you ever gotten in? You said you like to look. You like to watch and see people. Have you ever, like, there's a lot of moshing going on in the video. Have you ever been involved in anything like that at one of those?
Yeah, shows? We only get general admission. We're not buying seats. Uh-huh. It's general admission on the floor. If you want the full experience. Uh-huh. General admission all day long.
So what do you like about the music? Is it the emotion of the music? Is it, I'm thinking like back to my musicology class at Michigan. Is it the sound of the instruments? Is it the beat? Is it the lyrics? Like, is there something about that that really speaks to you?
I think it's kind of all that you mentioned. I think that the beat is different because it's funky. I think that it's obviously aggressive, which in the world that job-wise, I mean, good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the lyrics not too deep, but get a message across. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of all everything that you said. Yeah.
What would you say to somebody that's listening to that song and says, it's just noise, or it's just a bunch of loud guitars and drums, and there's, you know, nothing for me to like in that? Like, well, how would you respond to that?
I think that that's what every kid that comes in advanced fitness says, and then by mm-hmm. the time they graduate, and then I see what they're listening to. Mm-hmm. They're listening to that.
Yeah.
They're like being brainwashed. No, I can relate because I've said the same thing about country music about mm-hmm. 5-8 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I can relate, but I don't know. Give it a chance, mm-hmm. right?
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. And we're going to move into segment 2 of the podcast, which is our Tuesday trailer. And this is when AT is going to tell us a little bit about a TV show or a movie that's either interested you or a favorite caught your eye. So I'll turn it over to you.
For the favorite movie, I got a couple of them, like Pulp Fiction, Matrix, Seven. I wrote a couple of them. Good Will Hunting, Gladiator, James Bond. I like the new James Bonds. Mm-hmm. And then TV shows, you got to throw Dukes of Hazzard in there, right? Mm-hmm. Might be too old. And then one of the all-time favorites, Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit.
Well, I see some themes developing there, like see like some suspense maybe or action and you know, the good old boys.
I mean, that's a classic.
TV show. So out of those, would you say that there's one that stands out as like an all-time favorite or something that you always have wanted to share with students?
Well, you can't, but I think that it was like cutting edge at the time, Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. I think that he was talking about things in the skits that nobody had done, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that was unbelievable TV. It was like it happened so fast and it was gone. Mm-hmm. So I think at one point it was better than, you know, not one point, but it was like better than SNL because he was hitting on stuff that even they wouldn't touch. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
So we'll use that as our Tuesday trailer. And I know it might be hard to find a podcast appropriate clip to share with our audience or our listeners there, but I'm curious to hear just a little bit more about, let's talk about Dave Chappelle first. So when did you first encounter him? Do you remember did you come across him on TV or had you heard about him from someone? I know for me, it was when I was in college.
Yeah.
So he was kind of circulating around the college community at that time.
Doing stand-up?
This is Chappelle's show. The first season was on Comedy Central, I think, and people started to make it appointment viewing back when that was a thing, and we would gather around in our house to watch the new episode of Chappelle's show. Do you remember when it was for you that you first came across it?
I think it was just, I stumbled across it because I think Brad had mentioned it to me. Coach Bush had mentioned it. Hey, have you seen this show? And I was like, no, huh? So from that point on, and then I certainly bought the seasons mm-hmm. on the DVDs. Mm-hmm. But it was just word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And then I stumbled across it because Comedy Central, like you said, mm-hmm. so. That's funny. You said it was like appointment.
Oh, yeah.
All the guys over.
And we memorized, I think, like there's the Prince basketball episode, which we remember.
Blouses.
And the Rick James. I won't repeat anything here. But
correct.
I know that we said a lot of things probably I wouldn't want people to know I said at some point. So
it was like a 2-year run, wasn't it?
Yeah, two seasons. And then he walked away at the peak of his career, really, turned down a ton of money because he wanted to get away from the pressures of it and the boxes he was being put into. And so, yeah, it was a really unique thing at the time. So for students that maybe this might have been a little before their time, do you have a favorite Chappelle Show sketch that you could describe to someone? Or is there something about that show that you remember making you laugh really hard?
I mean, it has to be the racial draft, right? I mean, that was, I mean, that's, again, nobody would touch that. I mean, can you imagine if they had that out today? It would be, no, but that's got to be one of the all-timers.
And that was a segment where basically it was kind of all the races coming together to decide who was going to belong to their race. I think it looked at a lot of people that might have been either mixed race or difficult to discern, and making a case for why a certain race might or might not want to take credit for that person. So, yeah, so that's sometimes...
Just who writes? I mean, that was unbelievable.
Sure. Some difficult stuff to talk about, maybe, if you do it the wrong way. And
you
seem to find a way to make it sound okay. Or when we talk about humor that's kind of irreverent or might seem to some people like a little brash or... unpolished. Would you say that you're generally a fan of that style of humor? Like, do you like hearing people say uncomfortable things to get a laugh? Do you find, does that ever make you uncomfortable, or do you ever think it's inappropriate, or generally are you on board with it?
I mean, for me, I've usually got good perspective on it. I mean, I try not to take it too seriously, and I think that, to be honest, we probably lost a little bit of perspective of that in our society, excuse me. So, I don't really need it to get a laugh. I think that some of the stuff is really creative. It's out there. And so,
Well, I think that's one of the things, at least from my observations, that makes you really effective as a teacher is you're not afraid to say things to people as long as they're honest and as long as they're coming from a good place that maybe sometimes other people might find uncomfortable. You know, it's hard to tell a person that they're not working hard, or it's hard to tell a person that, you know, they should be doing more than they are. But it seems, at least to me, like that's something that, I don't know if it comes naturally to you or if that's just part of your teaching philosophy, but would you agree with that?
I think that you can't say those things to people if there isn't a relationship there. So if you haven't asked them how their family is, if you haven't asked them how school is this term hard for you? I mean, whatever. If there's not some relationship built there, then you probably can't go after them, you know, as far as, you know, calling them out a little bit.
Have you found, for the most part, as a teacher, students respond to that kind of teaching? I know there's a lot of debate about, you know, is it better to be hard on people or to try and be, you know, a little, I don't know if softer is the right word, but, you know, to not sort of put their feet to the fire as much. And different people I know coach or teach differently, but do you think...
I just think if there's a relationship there, then you can, if they're the type of person that responds to that... being coached hard, but if they're a person that you need to put your arm around and to get the best out of them, I think that you need to, that kind of goes back to the relationship, knowing how they, what makes them tick a little bit. And I think if you're good at what you do, that's always going to be at the foundation, whether you're a boss or you're a principal or a teacher.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to move into segment three of the podcast here, which is the Wednesday World. And I know in just talking a little bit in preparation for the podcast, you said that this was one that you didn't feel like you had a specific item or event or a current event that stood out to you. Can maybe talk a little bit more about what was the thought process like for that, for the podcast?
I just think that there's so much out there right now just because the world we live in media-wise, and it's something every day, and it usually has something revolving around the president right now, and and so it just seems like it's a little bit I don't know, just a lot of things going on, and it usually seems like the president is the main current event with a side one of somebody said this and you can't say that, or somebody's got an opinion on it, or the news isn't always that great right now.
Yeah.
It's hard to take.
So I'm wondering then, would you say for you, is that response kind of that you just want to stay out of that, you know, it's a muddy middle ground and you would just rather not deal with it, or...
I mean, I'm gonna go to Drudge Report every morning and then click on CNN, and but I'm not... I mean, that's probably about as deep as it goes unless it's something that's really going on. I just... I think it's hard to filter through everything that's available to us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a slippery slope right now. It's kind of, I don't know, not that good right now.
Sure. Would you say that has always been the case for you, that you felt the same kind of feeling toward, sounds like, the news that we hear and the news cycle and things like that? Do you think, was there a time in your life when you felt differently about that, or you either followed those things more closely or discussed them more actively in your life?
I think once everything got pushed to the internet and newspapers started to die, I just think that it's so much in our face, and it's here and then it's gone right away. But for that short window, it's like so much at you about one. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes I tell students, like, I'm one of the few people I know that subscribe to a print newspaper.
The Fish Wrap?
So, yeah, like, still get it. I still like to get that. Like,
what is it? Wall Street?
It's the New York Times. It's one of the only ones that, with the Wall Street Journal, you can get delivered daily now. Because M Live is, what, twice a week or something like that. So I just like having that physical tool to read from. But to your point, one of the things I like about it is that when you're reading a newspaper, you're reading something that's taken 10 hours, 12 hours to produce. So it's not a knee-jerk reaction that someone put out on a tweet.
Right.
You know, someone had time to think about it and reflect on it. And if there was a change to the way the story was broken, that's reflected in the article too. Right. So I think that's a really good point that maybe our students nowadays might have a harder time connecting to, because they're just used to news being instant all the time. And like you said, in your face.
Yeah, it's fast. It's whatever. Yeah. And it's almost like, I think the we've, like I said before, I think current event wise, I think that we've lost our way. Everybody wants to take a shot at somebody because they say something. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's necessarily fair. Mm-hmm. Well, I took it this way, so you're bad, or we should sue you, or I don't know. It seems like more of that. I don't know. The media kind of is, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me, too, like there's a little bit of connection between that and what we were just talking about a few minutes ago with Chappelle's show, and that how great it was for somebody to be able to say things that, you know, maybe might not need to worry about people taking it the wrong way and that coloring who they are or something like that for a long period after that. So,
I mean, even if SNL does something that's a little bit questionable, I mean, they get roasted. Because somebody's offended. We just got to be careful. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're going to move into our fourth segment of the podcast here, which is our Throwback Thursday, and a chance for our guests to just take us back in time a little bit and tell us about something from maybe before some of us knew you. And so I'll give you a chance to share your story or your memory.
Yeah, I think hopefully I've got some good ones. And it goes back to school. Third grade. Tripped a kid on recess. It's not a good thing to do. One of the teachers saw me, pointed me to come over over by him. I knew it wasn't going to be good. Pinned me up against the wall on recess. And needless to say, I didn't trip anybody after that. I got a couple other ones here because this was a good question. First grade, South School. We had a situation in the bathroom. A young man was kicking the flusher on the toilet, and it was spraying water into the ceiling. Well, I mean, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. So the teacher comes in, grabbed both of us by the back of the neck, walked us into the room, and taped us to the chairs where we were at our desks, masking tape. I mean, that you'd probably be thrown in jail right now for that. So that was a good one. And then I was always a big fan of let's just keep it at school, not let it get back home. So those are two throwback stories.
So I'm going to press you on this a little bit, because I thought you said like 10 minutes ago you were not a troublemaker or something like that.
Not in high school. But I thought you said high school. Okay. I'm just kidding. The trip, that was uncharacteristic of me. I don't know what happened.
Okay. But you admit guilt on that.
Totally. Totally. And it was all the way, it was out in the open. It was not, it wasn't good. Wasn't good.
Okay. So what generally is that kind of what your MO was on the playground? Is like you were running things and you were gonna regulate if people got out of line, or were you?
I mean, it wasn't like O'Doyle rules or anything like that. It was an eye for an eye, right, out there.
Okay.
It's rough at South School. It's rough.
Sounds like these were some of your darker memories. But what about the other side? Did you have any playground triumphs? you know, the race that you won against the other fastest kid in the school, or a like last second touchdown before the bell rang to come back in.
I always liked running with Mr. Werwine at South School, his former PE teacher here. Actually, I'm the one who took the job when he left, but he was like an alternate for the Olympics, and he was a big runner. That was good times, but yeah, floor hockey in high school. I mean, there was all kinds of good experiences with Mr. Tallman, right? So.
So it sounds like recess, as I think it is for most people, was like a highlight of your time in school. I loved my recesses in elementary school and middle school.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talk nowadays about recess either making a comeback in elementary schools, like some states are passing laws that require a certain amount of recess every day for kids. And I know that when I bring that up in my classes, high schoolers always say that they wish they could have recess in high school. Do you think you could get behind a rule like that?
No, I'd say take PE.
Okay.
Take advanced fitness. Mm-hmm. That would be your break.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I think the kids that take that are probably better students than the ones that don't take it, just to get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Get a break from grinding.
Mm-hmm.
So
works out a different part of your brain too, and probably
mindless.
Yeah, there's a lot of connection between exercise and attention and memory and things like that. So,
no question.
Uh-huh. So you bring up a little bit about taking gym classes here at the high school. And do you do all advanced fitness now all the time? Or are you still running any sections of gym classes here?
No. Again, there are no jobs like that. It's lucky. I'm very lucky. Mm-hmm. It's all advanced fitness. And then one of those hours is team taught with Josh or Todd.
Okay. Now, was there a time, though, that you did run some PE classes?
Yeah, I taught health for 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 years. I had some team sports classes. And then as Laura retired and then as Brad transitioned into the athletic director, just became all those classes.
Mm-hmm.
So lucky, very, very lucky.
Is there anything that you miss about teaching those classes? Was there a game you used to facilitate that you really liked or looked forward to or missed?
There was a window where we had some kids that could really, really throw, that came through, and we would play dodgeball, and it was like once every 10 days, and it was like release the hounds. I mean, there was people running around like fools, and they could really throw. I like to see that, you know what I mean? I like to see people that can throw. I like to see them throw with a good army, right?
I don't know that I have followed this closely enough, but I feel like I remember at one point, didn't the state of Michigan try to pass a law against dodgeball, or is it like the semantics of it? Like you can't call it dodgeball, but you
I think that that's like, what it is.
We called it, I think, bombo in my high school, which, is not much more polite than dodgeball.
Right.
But,
I was never a fan of dodgeball. I hated it in high school. I hated my arm always hurt, and I didn't like it, but kids go crazy about it. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to call it something else or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point.
I know when I played, I was really competitive. I just would drive. If I got hit with the dodgeball, like I'd be angry 2 hours later in my class.
Settle it outside of class.
Were you similar? Like, did you take that time on the recess or in gym class when you were a student pretty seriously? And
maybe I did. Yeah, you're gonna hit me head on a swivel because it's coming back.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, for sure.
What about going back to that?
That was all the things that we played, right? I'm sure you were the same.
Yeah. That mischievous playground tripper. Did you ever in the gym class do anything that you think was toeing a line or crossing a little bit of a line there?
Well, yeah. You know Mr. Cruz,
coaches
track here. I think he's in like his 53rd year or something like that. I had him for 7th grade PE, and we were playing floor hockey. I believe it. Somebody hacked me on the shin with their stick, and I turned around and whacked them on their shin. Well, who do they always see? The second person, right? So he called me over. Again, this is just like the guy on the playground. Called me over, turned his championship ring around from EMU, and dotted me on top of the head with his hand. Said, "We're not going to do that again." So, again, probably get thrown in jail for stuff like that today. But I never did it again, right? I never did. We didn't trip and we didn't hit people with hockey sticks after that. So, anyway.
It's interesting. I feel like I'm getting this vision into a better understanding as a teacher.
I was not that bad of a human being.
No, but I think from the perspective of understanding, like, it seems like over and over you came across people that held you to a high standard. And I'm not saying that you're whacking your kids on the head when they don't do a lift the right way, but you've carried over, I think, a great part of that, which is, hey, there's a way that we do this and there's an expectation and I'm going to hold you to that. So
that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, we're going to head into our final segment of the podcast here, which is always my favorite warm-up of the week, the Friday question of the day. And normally I ask my students the question, but I always give my podcast guests a chance to ask me back in return. So go ahead and fire away.
So it kind of goes back to the current event thing. A couple double-headed here. When someone says something public, how do you view that when it's kind of like, why do you even care? Like, you're losing your mind over this person saying this. And then the other thing would be, what do you think about social media and cell phones for kids now?
All right, two different questions. I'm going to have to try to remember these. The first one was when people...
You know, like if somebody says something and then like this group of people says that you shouldn't have said it or they took offense to it. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just kind of, you know...
Yeah, I think it's difficult, especially being a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. I think that puts me in a unique position that maybe a lot of people don't get a chance to in their personal lives, to know that in any conversation there's going to be people on lots of different ends of the discussion and mm-hmm. ends of the political aisle. And I try hard as a teacher when we do discuss things that are political issues or current events to keep my perspective out of it, in recognition that there's probably somebody in the room that disagrees with me or might be offended if I take a side or might not be able to trust me as a teacher if I come down on one side or the other. So I think I, at least through my job, have kind of been trained to be overly empathetic maybe, or mm-hmm. you know, search for the validity in any other kind of perspective that's there. I think sometimes it's hard because I do, as an individual outside of school, have my own perspectives and things that I, you know, maybe care about or would like to see happen in the world. So sometimes it's a challenge, but I think if nothing else, it just encourages me to try and always, you know, in the Atticus Finch To Kill a Mockingbird days, like walk a mile in someone else's shoes. Right. You know, would I feel that way if I was going through whatever they're going through? And I think the older I get, the more I realize that there are a lot of walks of life that I haven't had a chance to experience firsthand. And so sometimes who am I to say, you know, whether something's right or wrong? Or I think that doesn't necessarily mean like I can't weigh in on what I think is moral or what I think is right. But I do think, kind of like you said, that we live in a knee-jerk reaction age where we're expected to instantly, you know, as soon as somebody says one thing or another, to either vilify them or embrace them. And I think in most things in life, there's a lot of nuance behind it. I think sometimes when people say things that are presented as 100% wrong, we should at least take time to think through all sides of that discussion and listen to maybe people that don't agree with us, and
that's a good point.
See if there's any way to, if not agree with the person or condone what they're doing, at least understand where they're coming from and see how that might impact us. So I feel like that was a really wordy way to say that empathy is really important, and we got to always listen to voices, even if we don't agree with them sometimes.
Especially in our room.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think the second question is kind of connected to that, because social media is a facilitator of that. And,
right.
You know, it's sort of this crucible or pressure cooker that takes all the voices that we hear and just throws them into conflict with each other sometimes. So I think, generally speaking, you know, like you, I am a social media user, but I don't know that I'm at the forefront of it. You know, I have a Facebook account, but I post like 3 or 4 times a year probably. Or I have a Twitter feed, but I might tweet once or twice a week.
And rhetoric?
Rhetoric is ordinary is one of the things connected to my classrooms. You've been paying attention. I appreciate that. But I think as a teacher, generally, I worry a little bit about social media and how it impacts our students in a lot of ways, but one of the key ones is just the ability to talk to a person face to face. And I think that that's a little bit of a lost art that I worry, I don't know what our world will look like in 10 or 20 or 30 years when people don't have that ability to have a conversation. I even watch my classes when students will finish a test or a quiz early, and 10 years ago, before every student had a cell phone in class, you would have to find a way to use your time. So you'd either talk to the person next to you or talk to your group, or you'd play a game if there was downtime together, you'd create something. Now I watch my students finish a quiz or turn in a test, and instantly silent for the rest of the hour. It's kind of nice as a teacher. That's because they're all looking at their Instagram or Snapchat, or they're talking to people in other classrooms virtually. And I think that worries me a little bit, that human connection's going away. I don't know. Do you feel similarly, or do you find that same thing happening from your point of view?
Yeah, I just don't like what you said. I'm not. Where does it go? Where does it go from where we're at right now? I mean, I think that cell phones and social media, it's so powerful to be able to get information to people so quickly. I mean, it can be a great thing, but then also I think the perception that everything's perfect. I think it's just got to be careful. And I just started thinking about that recently, actually, too. Just kind of like, God, people can't wait to say or show what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what those platforms are for, but mm-hmm. it just, I don't know. It's almost like people are searching to be, like, popular or liked mm-hmm. or, like, approved of maybe or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, one of the things I do personally, I don't know if you're like this as well or if it's like this at your house, but I have to be really intentional about carving out times that I'm going to go away from that sort of stuff.
Well, you can get lost in it, can't you?
Yeah, I have a room in my house where I won't let myself bring any electronic devices into the room because I want there at least to be one safe space that I can get away from it. And, I know that I just the other week or a few months ago, actually, I put my phone on silent or night mode accidentally and forgot to turn it off. And it's the best thing I ever did. Is just, if people really need to get a hold of me, they'll find a way. But for the most part, I don't want my phone going off every time someone needs something from me or every time someone updates something on Twitter. It's kind of a way I'm building these artificial barriers in between myself and social media. And I don't know, do you do anything like that, or do you try to be intentional about how you use it or where or when you use it?
Yeah, I think recently I've gotten better at that. I think initially it's a little unsettling because we've been so conditioned that it's right there all the time. But then, as an example, I went on a honeymoon in August, and like at first it was like, you're dark, you're off the grid. And then I would leave it in the room and then by the end of the time I was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. The only time I would have it on me is if I didn't know what was going on with my kids, so.
Sure. All right. Well, I know that just as a colleague, I've appreciated getting to know you over the years and be alongside you as a coach and having the chance to work with your children are both great people. And I think that all really speaks to who you are and the person you are and the way that influence has been spread to other people. So thank you for everything you do.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We want to thank our listeners this month for tuning in to episode 5 of Teacher People. We appreciate you listening, and we want to remind you always to remember that your teachers are people too. Thanks for listening.